Well, I do desire your prayers. I want the Lord to bless this afternoon. I heard a story, it's been several years ago, about a professional football player. He's a very talented young man. And he was chosen high in the draft. There were a few little concerns about his life and background, and they pay those guys lots of money. They pay him millions of dollars in contracts to get out there and play football. So when they're making their decisions about these, how much money they're going to put out on these people, they try to do a little background check on them to see if they're going to get what they're paying for, or if they're going to be wasting their money. So they had done a few checks on this young man, and there were some concerns, but his talents were so that they felt like they were willing to take the chance. So they did. But as it proved out, there were problems that arose, because he had some rather deep emotional needs. And as I read the story and the account of the young man, it seemed very obvious what the problem was. He grew up in an inner city environment, and he had, I believe it was his grandmother that reared him. He did his homework, schoolwork, in just a little old cubicle of a room with a little old piece of a desk and one little lamp there. And as he tried to do his work, his studies, it was there was always distractions all around him. But the most telling thing to me in the article was that he did not know who his father was. He grew up in that home without the benefit or influence of his father. But in later years, he came to know that his father actually lived right across the street from him, and he never even knew it. I can't hardly comprehend that. But that was his life. He grew up, no doubt, going outside on the stoop of the porch to play, playing with little ones. His father, across the street, come out of the house, maybe get in his vehicle, go to work, come home in the evening, see the young man out there. But never was there any type of interaction between the two of them for this young man to know that that was his father. I can't imagine the pain that you would feel when you came to the realization was, this was my dad, and he never gave me any kind of acknowledgement whatsoever. That's a sidebar to the thought the Lord has given me this afternoon, but in a way, I trust it'll tie in. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. The Lord has given us a very precious gift in offering us His Holy Spirit. I don't know what words to use to describe the Holy Spirit. I have called it the animating force of God, and I believe that's one fairly accurate definition of it, the animating force of God. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the highest revelation of God, of the will of God to man. It is that portion of God, I believe, that He breathed into man at the creation. It's something that God has within every one of us that can respond or react to the movings of the Lord, the soul, but the Holy Spirit moving and and causing there to be a reaction in your soul, in your spirit, in your life, for us to feel that, for us to be able to respond to that, is a high revelation of the will of God toward humanity. So I would like to read in this 14th chapter of the book of John, 15th verse, referenced this morning, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." I'd like to comment just a little bit on this 17th verse. I believe that there are many people in this world today who are allowing themselves to grow up in an environment, just as this young man who was a professional football player, who had his father living right across the street from him, and he never even knew who his father was. Too many people are allowing themselves to grow up in a world that is fraught with distress and discomfort, that is fraught with disease, that is fraught with sin, and God is right there with the Holy Spirit, the Father is right there, and wanting to impart to them the strength and the courage and the help that they need, and they don't even know Him. They don't even acknowledge Him. Now that's not on God's part. That's on humanity's part. 18th verse, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now, let's turn the page in the 16th chapter. And 12th verse. In these few chapters here in the book of John, Jesus is spending his last hours with his disciples. Just a few more hours. And you may have heard me say this before, but I've tried to think in my own mind, if I just had a few hours, what do you say first? All I've got is a few hours. 3 or 4 hours that I can spend with you. What do I say first? To my own children. To my grandchildren. If I have just 2 or 3 hours that I have to share with them, time to spend with them, what do I say first? I love you. This is the way it was with Jesus. Just a few more hours. And his life was going to be called for. They would arrest him. He would be taken away from them. They would mistreat him. And he had tried to warn the disciples, his followers, what to expect, what to see, what to anticipate. He tried to warn them about all of these things. But do you know, how many times have I been warned myself? How many times have I sat and listened to wise counsel by those who were older than me, who had experience in life, and too many times you just went right over my head, or as the saying is, kind of in one ear and out the other. I've learned a little bit more about being still and sitting down and listening now, but I've already had several bumps and bruises because of not sitting down and listening when I should have. So here's what the Lord says to his disciples. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." I've got so much. I have so many things to give to you. I've got so many words that I want to say, but there's not enough time to share it all with you. I'm coming right down to the last few hours, and all the future of Christianity, the future of the plan of God and the will of God was resting on these men being willing to catch the flame and move forward with it and distribute it to others. And Jesus is saying to them, I don't know how desperate he felt. I can only imagine. The scripture tells us later that as he went to the garden and he prayed, that says that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And he was in agony there in that garden. He prayed to the Father, if there's any other way for this to be accomplished, Lord, please let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So he says to the disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. Thank the Lord, folks. Now let's go back to this 14th chapter and look at two words. 16th verse, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. These two words, comfort and comfortless. This word comfortless comes from the Greek word, which is orphanos. That might sound a little bit familiar to you, orphans. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. Do you know what a blessing that is, folks? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, looking down in the hearts of all of these individuals, his disciples, knowing the importance of the message that he had to share with them, and knowing their weaknesses, knowing their tendencies, knowing that one of them was impatient, knowing that one of them was so easy to move and quick to move. He knew these men intimately. He knew them. He understood the things that made them tick. He knew what would cause there to be a reaction to them. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't receive it now. But when the Spirit comes, he is going to start to open your heart and open your mind and reveal to you not only things about yourself, but even more about me. It's needful that I go away. But when I go away, you have looked to me. You have called me Lord and Master, and that's what I am. You have followed me, and you saw the loaves and the fishes. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the devils cast out. You've seen the sea stilled. When you were on the boat with me, and that storm was tossing and rolling high, and I spoke, be still, and it was still. There's a great calm. You were there. It would only be natural, folks, if you had someone like that in your life, to hold on tight and follow close. But he says, it's needful for me that I go away. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I won't leave you. You'll see me crucified. You'll see me. You'll see Judas come to me and kiss me on the cheek. And you'll hear me say, do you betray me with a kiss? And you'll see me led away. And I'm going to say to them, do you come to arrest me with sticks and swords and weapons? I taught in the temple every day. I never tried to hide from you. And they're going to lead me away. And you're going to see me put on the cross. You're going to see the life leave my body. You're going to see me turn pale. You're going to see me taken down. You're going to see me wrapped in grave clothes. You're going to see me placed in a tomb. Jesus knew that. You remember the occasion when he walked with them on the road to Emmaus? He joined himself with them. And the conversation that the men were having with one another. And he asked them, they were talking about the things that had taken place there. And he asked the question, what things? And they began to talk to him and they said, we had hoped. Orphans. They were in the mindset of being orphans. And Jesus has said, I'm not going to leave you that way. It's not going to be that way forever. I know how you're going to feel. I know how it's going to look. But I will not leave you orphans. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter. This word comforter, parakletos, intercessor, a consoler, one that is summoned, one that is called to one side, especially called to one's aid. I'm going to give you another comforter, one that is called to your aid, called to your side, so that when you feel like that orphan, you're going to realize that you're not, There is one that I'm going to send to you. And folks, how many times have we been in a place where we felt so all alone, felt so empty, felt so void, there were no more words to say. The burden was so heavy, and the prayers had been offered until there were no more words to say. And you were in your prayer closet, and you get down on your knees again.
Amen.
And it's just silence. Because there's nothing more there. There are no more words to say to describe the burden that you feel. The pain, the hurt, the disappointment, the deepest need. Lord, I need you. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And you said you'd be with me, but I don't see you. And I don't hear your voice. And I don't feel your presence. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to your aid. And when we're in that place where we have totally emptied ourselves before the Lord and we don't know what else to say. Have you been there? He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. The still, small voice of the Lord. The Comforter. Called to your aid. Called to your side, summoned by God the Father and Jesus the Son, the animating force of God, the very breath, the very life of God, coming down to your soul and my soul to pay us a visit because of our deepest need and ours of our deepest need. The Lord is there with that still small voice to speak those words of comfort and consolation. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, I said to you, the Holy Spirit, the animating force of God. It's the highest revelation of the will of God. And I want to encourage you, when you're in this place, and you're so desperate, and there you don't know what the answer is. You don't know what words to say next. Remember this also, that Jesus said to his disciples, that I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't receive it now. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. I want to tell you what I have found in my life. The more I think I know about God, the more I find out I don't know about God. He won't fit well in a box. I'll share something with you. If you had said to me 5 years ago that part of the roadmap of my life would have been having a little bald-headed 3-year-old grandson with leukemia going through a battle like that, I would have said, I don't see that on the roadmap. But God did. God sees those things, folks. God's able to take those things and cause there to be a change in your life and my life to where we realize that when we're in that deepest hour, where we're in our deepest distress, and we're pouring out ourselves before the Lord, and I'm poured out like water before Him, and I don't know what else to say, I don't know what more words to give, that He comes along. And it's still. And it's calm. And it's quiet. And it's powerful. It's powerful. Because it is God. Because in that hour of deepest need, when you're there in that point, that place, where it looks like all it's going to take, Lord, is one more drop and I'll drown. Just one more drop. You know the old saying, the straw that broke the camel's back? We always feel like, just one more straw? It's just one more straw. But do you know that there are times we can get into places in life where we'll feel that very thing? It'll be like, if there's anything more, I don't see how I can take it. Don't see how we can have. Do you know how merciful the Lord is to us. As we go through this life, we mark time and we spend our days in effort to love Him and serve Him and try to do the things that are right for Him. When we first get saved and we come to the Lord and we put ourselves on the altar before Him and He gives us salvation, and then we realize that He's calling for something a little more, something a little deeper, and we're willing to consecrate ourselves before Him. You've heard me say this before, that at that moment, we don't know what all we're consecrating to. There are things that we'll meet in life along the way that we never thought we would meet. But the Lord is there. He's able to see. He's able to take that consecration and He begins to work with that, because He said, I'm going to guide you into all truth. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. When you're walking through these places as the valley of the shadow of death, I will be there with you. I'll be one summoned to your side. I'll be that comforter. I'll walk with you in that place. I'll guide you. I'll be there to sustain you. I'll be there to hold you. And as we had sometimes a little song and a poem we've seen, you may have seen it in a plaque on the wall, Footprints in the Sand. Lord, when I look back, I only see one set of footprints. Why did you leave me? And the response is, I never left you, child. I never left you. Because it was there that I carried you. You thought you were walking in your own strength, but it wasn't you, it was me carrying you. That one called to our side. The one who is our consoler, the one who is our strength, our intercessor. The one that is summoned there to my aid, to your aid. Do you know, if at the time that we became interested in serving the Lord and learning more about the Lord and answered the call of consecration to the Lord and desiring to be sanctified and have the Lord's Spirit in my life and your life, that if at that point we were able to see, roll ahead the clock and see everything that could possibly come in our lives that the Lord would allow, how many of you could take it? I'm going to testify for myself. I couldn't take it. But one day at a time. Because the Lord said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So I look to today. I wake up, I see the light of a new day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. You've given this day, and you said in your word that whatever this day had in it, you had strength to match it and beyond. As your day is, so shall your strength be. You promised it to be that way. So, Lord, I'll take this day. And as I get into this day, folks, sometimes in the course of a day, the battle can get so strong and so severe that I don't know if I can make it through this day, Lord. Will you help me hour by hour? Will you help me minute by minute? Will you, Lord, walk with me step by step? Because just to think of another hour at this moment, just to think of another hour is too much. Just help me for the next moment, Lord. For the next moment. And do you know, we sing a song. It's 300. It says, I can see far down the mountain. Not up. Down the mountain. Where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way. But the Spirit, the Comforter, the Consoler, the one called to my aid, the Counselor, the Intercessor, that Spirit led unerring, unmistakable. No mistake, not happen chance, no issues. I remember I was listening to Brother Marty's message where he said, do you ever think the Lord says, uh-oh, this is going to be bad? No, folks. Amen. The Lord doesn't look at a situation and say, oh, this is going to be bad. We do. We can see as something starts to unfold, say, oh, this is not going to be good. But the Lord, He doesn't look at a situation and say, oh, this is going to be bad. He is everything. Amen. He is life, health, death, strength. He has all of that in His hand. So when these circumstances start to present themselves, we must steal away at that moment to our prayer closet, a place with the Lord, where we get on our face before Him and allow Him to be our comforter. Call Him to account on His Word. Say, Lord, You said You wouldn't leave me as an orphan. I'm feeling like it right now. I'm feeling like an orphan, Lord. Kind of feeling alone right now. But I know You said that You wouldn't leave it this way. And I know, Lord, that as I read Your Word and as I sing the songs and it says, the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today, I'll take it, Lord. I'll claim that. I'll take it moment by moment. And do you know, as we get beyond it, the old saying, hindsight is 20/20, and we look down that mountain, we see, I would have never planned or thought these events to be in my life on the roadmap that the Lord has chosen for me. He knows you. He knows you individually. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your tendencies. He knows those areas where you can be drawn aside. He knows how to strengthen those things. He knows what it's going to take to make you able to stand. He knows what ingredients to put into your life, into your experience, so that when you face that battle, you have something to draw on. You have something to look to. You have an anchor. And it's not here. It's on the other side. Because I don't want the things that I see around. The song we sing, change and decay and all around I see. O Thou who changest not, abide with me. I want to be, Lord, in that realm where only You are, where there is no change and decay, and where heaven is real, and I know it's real. I can't fathom all that it is because of my humanity, but I know it's real, and I want to get my portion. So, whenever you're in that place where you're feeling like you're all alone and you're going through your deepest distress, whatever that may be, remember, the Lord said early on, basically, He said to you, I have many things yet to say to you, but you can't receive it all now. As I said, if the Lord would just take that everything in life and just say, there it is. He doesn't do it that way. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but I know you can't receive it all now. But I'm going to start parceling it out to you. I'm going to be your comforter. So here's this. Yes, Lord, I will be thine. Yes, Lord, I'll submit to that. Yes, Lord, I'll humble myself to that. Yes, Lord, I know that You are supreme authority, and I will submit to Your authority. I'll do that, Lord. And we get through that battle. And we go along the ways and think, whew, that the blessing was really good. That was wonderful. And the Lord says, I have this for you too. Will you do this? Lord, must I? Do I really have to? You want that too? And the Lord says, it's only because I love you. Amen. It's only because I want to help you make it into heaven. So I say, yes, Lord, that too. So we go along the way and He says, will you do this? And it's not in one fell swoop, folks. It's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of dedication. It's a lifetime of moving on from blessing to blessing. Because when I submit to this, I realize, oh, on the other side, how precious it was to feel the Lord's closeness and His presence there. And He says, how about this? And I say, yes, Lord, I will. Because I remember earlier that other battle that You had for me, that even though it was a rather difficult place, when I was willing to say yes to You, the presence, your presence that came down afterward. I felt it, Lord. I want more of that. So I'm willing to say yes. And then later in life when that comes, and I look back over my life and I say, you know what? The Spirit has led unerring to the land I hold today. So when the next battle comes, I can say, Lord, give me courage, give me grace, give me strength. It's not in my own will, but because, Lord, it is you involved in this situation, I will accept it. Lord, by your grace, I will. Do you know? We talk about sanctification. We talk about perfection. And I thoroughly embrace that doctrine of perfection and sanctification and Spirit-filled life. I thoroughly embrace that. But I am also finding that more and more and more along the way, I'm learning more and more and more about perfection.
Yes, amen.
And I am also finding that there is a God, there is a Holy Spirit, and there is dealing with mankind that is real here. But I wonder, what is that ultimate perfection going to be when I lay this all down? When this is all done. And I'm able to stand before Him, and I'm waiting at that moment, and He says, come, ye blessed of my Father. And I can make it inside of His heaven and look at the situation that is there. And I don't know if you'll give me this liberty. I think I mentioned this in the adult Sunday school class here this morning. But I just think in my mind I can see that making it inside of God's heaven and becoming fully aware of everything that the blood of Jesus covered that I knew nothing about. When I was in my weakest moment, when my soul was trembling before the Lord, and I was so nigh to slip, and I might not have even understood everything that I was supposed to do, and I was trembling before the Lord, and in that weakest moment where I might have made mistake and error in my judgment, because I'm tired, because I'm weak, because I'm trying to understand your will, and physically, emotionally, spiritually, worn out, exhausted, the blood of Jesus covered that moment. And I stand before the throne of God and I see how great His mercy was and is. And I realize how much the blood of Jesus meant then and originally and what it will mean when I make it inside of God's heaven. Folks, this is a flawed vessel. This vessel is a flawed vessel. Every one of us were created that way. We're created with flaws, and in our best comprehension of God's Word and in our best comprehension of the will of God for us, we are still human beings. And we're subject to make a wrong interpretation. We're subject to that. But the Lord knows. He knows. He knows the way that we desire. He knows what our deepest needs are. He knows what we want more than anything else. And even when I don't understand myself, my Lord knows. I'm not talking about a sin you must and sin I can't help it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that come in life where you and I do not know the answers. And it seems as though we have to stand still. And I may have mentioned this to you. I remember reading a book where there was a saying scrawled on the wall of a Nazi concentration camp, where someone had written these words: I believe in the sun even when it does not shine. I believe in love even when I cannot feel it. I believe in God even though He does not speak. Folks, we must have a faith deep enough in God to believe in Him, even when it seems that everything around us, the battle that we're in, whatever it may be, that everything, everywhere we turn for an answer to the Lord, is silent. You been there? I know some of you have. Where everywhere you turn, it's silent. And you have to say to the Lord, Lord, I will be still. I'll trust you ever. And do you know what makes that to me even a little more difficult? Because we deal with this. And we deal with the sun arcing over the sky. We deal with the calendars day in and day out. Time doesn't stand still, folks. If you have a court appointment and you need some answers, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you still don't have an answer, guess what? Time is still moving toward that appointment. And when you get to that day and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you still don't have an answer, and here you are. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But we, as we're standing still, we're also still having to move. We have to continue dealing with the events day in and day out. Sometimes we don't even realize how much of a load that we're carrying day in and day out unless we can get rid of that load. But the Lord has said, remember, I will not leave you as an orphan. We're not orphans, folks. The tide of this world is turning against true Christianity. But we're not orphans. The Lord has promised, I will not leave you as orphans. I will be your intercessor. I'll be your counselor. I'll be one called to your side. I appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. Let's pray for each other. We got a long ways to go. We've got battles to fight. The Lord wants us to be faithful and true. And by His grace and strength and help, we can. We can. We can make it. We can hear Him say when we get to the end of our journey, well done, thou faithful servant. And I might look at that moment and say, how can you say well done? And He might look at me and say, do you know that when I was hungry, you fed me? And I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And I say, Lord, I don't ever remember seeing you in that place. Don't ever. He said to those, but inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Lord, help us. Let's be faithful. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Amen.